You're listening to Revival Archives, a podcast that inspires Christians to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit by bringing the blessings of the past into the minds and hearts of those living in the present. Welcome, my name is Armand Tomassian, the pastor of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This is episode 5 of Revival Archives. In our last episode, we continued looking at the revival known as the Great Awakening. We're just at the beginning of this move of the Spirit, particularly looking at the ministry of Jonathan Edwards. And last time we saw something of the blessing experienced by him and through his ministry in the middle of the 1730s. We come now to a little later on and more to the beginnings of the main outbreak of the Spirit and the move of the Spirit in the heart of the Great Awakening. And so again, we're reading from Joseph Tracy and his book entitled The Great Awakening. The excitement of 1734 had passed away, but its effects remained. The churches which it had visited were stronger both in numbers and in piety. The morals of those towns were decidedly improved. More definite and correct views extensively prevailed of the difference between a real and a nominal Christian, and of the great change by which that difference is produced. Extensively, the pious in other places had learned to regard awakenings like that at Northampton as events to be desired, prayed for, and expected. And this expectation had been kept alive by their occasional occurrence in single parishes in different parts of the country. In 1739, such instances began to multiply and to grow conspicuous. The specimens which follow will show their character. The author then begins with the blessing known in Newark in New Jersey, and he writes, "Newark was originally a colony from New England, and must have retained much of the primitive New England feeling concerning the distinction between the church and the world. In practice, however, that distinction appears to have been lamentably obscured. In the words of the Reverend Jonathan Dickinson, then pastor of the church in Elizabethtown, quote, "Religion was in a very low state. Professors generally dead and lifeless, and the body of our people careless, carnal, and secure. There was but little of the power of godliness appearing among us, till sometime in August 1739, the summer before Mr. Whitfield came first into these parts, when there was a remarkable revival at Newark, especially among the rising generation. This concern increased for a considerable time among the young people, though not wholly confined to them, and in November, December, and January following, it became more remarkable as well as more general. This revival of religion was chiefly observable among the younger people till the following March, when the whole town in general was brought under an uncommon concern about their eternal interests, and the congregation appeared universally affected under some sermons that were then preached to them. And there is good reason to conclude that there was a considerable number who experienced a saving change about that time. The summer following, this awakening concern sensibly abated, though it did not wholly die away, and nothing remarkable occurred till February 1641, when they were again visited with the special and manifest effusions of the Spirit of God." It is very encouraging to read of how these moves of the Spirit were at times very focused and concentrated upon the youth of the day. When we consider the condition, the spiritual condition of our young people today, when we see the general attitude that they have towards spiritual things, when those that are in the church at times appear to neglect the very blessings that are put under their noses, when they over and over again express a love for the things of this world and little interest in the things of Christ, is it not encouraging to be reminded that when God pours out His Spirit, often it is seen and evidenced in the life of the young? This is, again, a tremendous need of our day, and I trust you have a burden for your young people, that rather than being critical of them, harsh towards them, I know, we can think and say many a thing, but is it not better that we pray for them? There are many good, solid young people, many of them within our churches, but they have never known some of the blessings that you may have known or I may have known, and we need to beg God on their behalf to visit with them, move and soften their hearts, and cause them to melt under a sense of His presence and to surrender to all of His will. The writer then moves us to Harvard, Massachusetts, and tells us that the Reverend John Seccombe wrote in February 20, 1744, after there had been time to test the genuineness of the revival, quote, "The first visible alteration among my people for the better was sometime in the month of September in the year 1739, when several began to grow more thoughtful and serious and somewhat reformed. More constant and diligent in attending the public worship, more attentive in hearing the word preached, more careful to sanctify the Sabbath, and so on. Quote, "Not long after this came four young men to me under considerable awakenings and concern about their spiritual state. In December following, these same persons were taken into church fellowship who had been of too loose a life and conversation in times past, which put many upon further thoughtfulness. From this time, the concern began to increase, and there was scarce a sacrament passed, which is with us once in 8 weeks, without some additions to the church, from that to the present time, though 12 is the greatest number that have been received at once. The whole number that had been admitted from September 1739 to the date of the letter was near 100. From the details given by Mr. Seccombe, the revival appears to have been much like that at Northampton in 1734, but on a smaller scale. Through its whole continuance, it, quote, was not carried on violently nor by strangers. One sermon preached in June 1741 by an aged minister was the only foreign aid that appeared to produce any effect. We then again come to Northampton, and the writer points us to the record given by Jonathan Edwards again. "Edwards shall speak for himself. His account was written December 21, 1743. Quote, "Ever since the great work of God that was wrought here about 9 years ago, there has been a great abiding alteration in this town in many respects. There has been vastly more religion kept up in the town, among all sorts of persons, in religious exercises, and in common conversation than used to be before. There has remained a more general seriousness and decency in attending the public worship. I suppose the town has been in no measure so free from vice for any long time together for this 60 years as it has this 9 years past. There has also been an evident alteration with respect to a charitable spirit to the poor. And though after that great work of 9 years ago, there has been a very lamentable decay of religious affections and the engagedness of people's spirit in religion, yet many societies for prayer and social religion were all along kept up, and there were some few instances of awakening and deep concern about the things of another world, even in the most dead time. In the year 1740, in the spring, before Mr. Whitfield came to this town, there was a visible alteration. There was more seriousness and religious conversation, especially among young people." Once again, we have our attention brought to the youth of the day. And I guess that really is what the Lord would have us be impressed with and concerned about. Our own young people, considering them, longing for them, praying for them, desiring on their behalf an outpouring of the Spirit of God that will so root them and ground them that they will become pillars in the work of God, that by them God will raise up many ministers and missionaries of the cross. May God do it. May you remember your young people as you meet for prayer, as you call upon God, as you cry out for revival. Remember specifically that the Holy Spirit would be poured in power upon our youth. O God, this is our prayer. As Thou hast brought these matters to our attention in the outpouring of the Spirit of God in the days of Jonathan Edwards and others, we come and cry to Thee, O God, remember our young people today. Send Thy gracious Spirit. Pour out the Holy Ghost with power. Move in our regular Sabbath services and breathe upon the hearts of us all. May we see, may we witness, may we hear the cries of young people in our services and especially in our prayer meetings, calling upon God and knowing the blessing of Thy presence in their lives. Hear our prayer, O God. Keep us looking on to Thee. Move across our land. Stir us to seek Thy face. And may there be such an outbreak of blessing on the left hand and on the right that we will testify the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.